Hello, is anyone there? You awake? Just checking, because my God, that was a boring game, wasn't it? Good evening and welcome to ABW Live. That was Sporting Lisbon versus Arsenal. I thought we'd left 1-0 board games like that with two managers ago, but tonight we'll be joined by Carl first. Carl, how's it going?
All good, Josh. After watching that game, I had a good old nap, and I've been raring to go because that was a fucking boring game. It really was.
It was indeed. It was indeed. Well, we know that one button monkey was asleep for the first half, but the other one had to endure the whole game. John, how's it going?
Yeah, that wasn't the best game I've ever seen. 1-0 to the Arsenal, though. Win number 11, another clean sheet. Basically through the group. So, we'll take all the positives we can. It wasn't the best game. It's a bit of a letdown after Monday night's superb performance, but we'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what now, 11 wins on the bounce.
Yeah.
We're getting very close to that coveted 14, which I believe was our last winning run from, I think, the Invincible season. But anywho, let's get on to the lineups. Carl, we saw Granit Xhaka at left back, and do you want to talk us through the rest of the lineup as well? Are there any surprises in there for you?
No, not really. When I did see Xhaka at left back, I was literally, because I know he played like the last half an hour against Leicester at left back. So I think that's obviously a prelude to see how he was doing there, because obviously it was all about he was going to do it today. He's not a left back. We've definitely established that today. Hopefully he doesn't play there again. There's obviously we're just down to our bare bones with our injuries, unfortunately. I don't think he done too badly there, but he's not a left back in any mean shape or form. He is a midfielder. He, again, you're looking at that game and you're thinking to yourself, did he, how bad did he do or how good did he do? I think he, if we against better opposition, would he have struggled there? Most definitely. But at the end of the day, he's part of a defense that kept a clean sheet today, so you have to be happy about that. The lineup was for me kind of what I expected to see. I expected Socrates to come back in, holding to play. I thought definitely El Neni would come in because he hasn't got that many games this season. I don't can't remember a game that he played in the league, to be honest. Welbeck is definitely our guy to play in the Europa League, and Aubameyang, who fresh from coming on and getting two goals against Leicester on Monday, obviously for the confidence he was going to start today. So the lineup for me was kind of straightforward. The only obviously surprise was obviously Xhaka playing at left back.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a shock. And what is this we see in there? Daniel, thank you so much. I have no idea how much 100 NOK is. Is that Norwegian kroner?
I think that's Norwegian kroner. Yeah, I think we established that last time. Thank you,
Okay.
Daniel. But yeah, chat box, give Daniel some love.
Thank you,
Thank you
Daniel.
very
Much
much. Yeah,
appreciated.
much appreciated. Remember, before the man, you see him probably come out from the shadow across my shoulder and stab me for not mentioning it. If you could give us a like, that would be excellent, because there's nothing else that we can really talk about this evening. John, was there any surprises in that lineup for you, or should we crack into that first half?
Not really. I mean, Xhaka at left back was just it's weird. I got it in the game. It made sense in the Leicester game why we did it. I don't know. I just thought if you're gonna play him in the team, can you not put, I don't know if Elneny or Guendouzi might have been a better fit there. I just thought someone with a bit more legs. It just worried me a little bit before the game because I thought, oh, Nani's going to be playing on the right-hand side and I could see him just cruising past Xhaka and Xhaka, like, by the time he's turned around to see Nani's gone past him, he's already in the box or something like that. But he, to be fair play, he did quite well. Manager got it right. It wasn't the greatest performance ever, but just, I like the fact that we can rotate and we've spoken about this quite a lot, that we've done this quite a bit already this season and there's not so much. I don't think, like last year, there was a very clear team A, team B. I don't think those roles are quite as defined now. Like you wouldn't have said Aubameyang was a team B player or anything like that. So I think it's just nice to have that flexibility in the squad. Obviously, it'd be better if we had an actual left back or maybe Maitland-Niles or someone available, but I'm sure that will be solved in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we did see Sock Pap come back in though. I think that was good
Yeah.
to see. How did you think he played today?
Yeah, I thought he was very good. There was the one little moment where I don't think it would have been a red card. Maybe it could have been a yellow, where he sort of lost flight of the ball and had to pull a guy down. But other than that, I thought he was pretty solid, holding as well. The guy up front for Sporting Montero, I actually thought was quite decent in the way he held the ball up. But they dealt with most things aerially pretty well. They were pretty calm out from the back. So, yeah, I thought they did really, really well. Jamie Hodgson, thank you very much for the donation. As always, guys, you really don't have to donate, but we always appreciate it. We really do. Thanks. It keeps us going. But thank you so much for that.
Once again, Jamie, thank you as well. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers, Jamie. Always appreciated. John, thank you. You've taken my only note from the first half by breezing over Socrates' last man action.
More detail on that, because I think there was only two things that happened in the first half.
Please can you, John?
I'm not sure who it was on, but he just, that's worrying when you lose the flight of the ball. And for someone that experienced, it's really not good. So it's kind of the thing we've seen Mustafi do a few times this season, not necessarily losing the flight of the ball, but like individual errors like that. But what I did like was that he did the correct thing in just, I'm pulling the guy down. I'm going to make the foul because he's going to get past me. So that part, it was good. I'm a little bit confused as to why the ref didn't give it, to be honest, because he did have a hold of his shirt. I'm happy he didn't, because that was one of those situations where it could have been a red card. I think a yellow probably would have been fair. But...
do you think it would have been a red card? The rules say clear and obvious goal scoring opportunity. From that far out, is it clear and obvious that he's going to, is this an opportunity to score? If he was closer, 100%, saying 100% definitely, but I don't know if I'm that far out, and I'm not just saying this with my Arsenal hat, and I'm saying it's a football hat on. I don't know if yellow card all day, and I said it in our group, like, that's definitely a yellow card, and how we got away with that, I don't know. But for me, I think that, I don't know if it's clear and obvious, personally.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was like a definite red. It depends on whether, from the referee's angle, whether he sees it as Socrates is the last man. I think holding was fairly close. So I think it probably would have been a yellow, but it's one of those situations where if you give the referee an opportunity to make that decision, then sometimes, you know, that's not the best. But the fact he made the foul was a good thing. Yvonne, as always, Yvonne always popping into the chat with a donation. Thank you very much, Yvonne. I'm glad to see the chat boxes in there also, and thank you as well. As always, you guys are great.
Yeah, I saw that game, or that challenge, as like six of one and half a dozen of the other. I think as much as Montero goes over a little easy, he does also have, you know, a good fistful of Socrates' shirt at the same time. So I think rather than what we saw, I thought we got the correct decision. But
yeah,
perhaps.
I mean, it's the fact that that was sort of one of the only talking points of the first half. You can look at it two ways. It's good because defensively, I don't think we were really troubled at all throughout the majority of the game.
No, Leno didn't have a single shot on target at him in that first half.
Yeah. The one thing that it does highlight is that offensively, we were a little bit toothless in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I think overall stats for that game, I was just looking at them now. So not only did Sporting not get a shot on target in the first half, they didn't manage to do it in the second either. With 15 shots in total and 11 corners for them, you can see that Leno, you know, he could have just got a cigar out if he fancied it and just gone all Sunday league on us, eating a Mars bar against the post.
I think we had a few shaky moments that playing out from the back. I think there are times when we'd play out and they would hit us, get the ball back and hit us straight away. So I think, I know he's got his philosophy, but there are some times that I think we need to go long.
Yeah, I think we saw that Leno's a bit more inclined to do that rather than Petacek. Would you agree with that, John?
Yeah, he does. I think he knows, he's obviously much more aware of his own ability and what he can do with the ball. And it's a weird thing to say, because you would think someone like Cech, who's obviously not comfortable so much passing out from the back, that he would hit it long more often. But I think because Leno has played that sort of system and that style for so long, he knows when to do it more. He has a better understanding of it. But yeah, there was a couple of times when there was like a loose pass from holding. There was one from Guendouzi. Ramsey did one as well. I think, to be fair, everyone in the first half in an Arsenal shirt, they were a little bit off. Like the crispness wasn't there, the speed in the play as well. We didn't like going in a European away game, going and getting a draw, for example, is not a bad thing. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's normally that sort of get your draw away, win at home kind of thing is perfectly fine. But we're clearly a better team than Sporting. This is not the Sporting of the last few seasons because they've lost so many players. And I just felt we were a little bit negative in the first half, and maybe we could have been a bit more expansive in particular. And I'm not going to try and I don't want to pick on people like players, but Guendouzi, Elneny were a little bit negative. Like they're both very neat and tidy on the ball, but they're not particularly expansive with it and forward thinking. Second half, I thought Guendouzi improved. And to be fair to Elneny as well, he was trying to get forward quite a lot and trying to influence play higher up the pitch than perhaps we're used to seeing. But I just felt sometimes when we could have gone forward or played a quicker ball, we always went for the safe option and came back or went sideways. And it kind of stifled any creativeness we had, particularly in the first half.
But don't you think that's an Arsenal thing that we do anyway? I mean, if you've got someone like Elneny, and I mean this respectfully, he's not the most creative player in the world, and he genuinely does tend to play the sideways passing. So I think asking for him to be more creative than he is kind of asking maybe a bit too much. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I definitely do want us to be more creative, but the tools that you're given, you can only work with, and Elneny is not the sort of person to crack open a pass and split defences and do things like that. And from what I've kind of seen of Guendouzi, he does a lot of running around, and I like the guy's energy, and I think he's very good. But again, he's not, I guess, the most creative player in the world either. And when you've got two players like that, I mean, fantastic hair, by the way. Let me just say, I definitely think we had the best midfield hair in football. I think without someone like and even Ramsey was there, but he seemed to be a bit stifled a bit, because it always went from we was playing the midfield three to sometimes Elneny being the furthest one forward, which I thought was a bit weird. I don't think anyone else thought that.
Yeah, I mentioned that to Josh, and I think Josh actually made a really good point about you know, if Ramsey's deeper, then he can make those late runs into the box. But I think that works better when you've got Lacazette up front than it does with, say, Aubameyang, who's going to play on the shoulder and he's going to look for the ball in behind. He's not really going to be one to hold it up and then play that ball from sort of the byline and cut it back. So some of that wasn't quite working, I don't think, in the first half. Elneny, for, you know, for what he's worth, he still played fine. I just thought the whole team just kind of lacked a little bit, you know. Yeah, Stephen Selby put it spot on. No imagination, really. You know, Mkhitaryan, I don't think, was really in the game up to that point. Welbeck was making nice diagonal runs, but he wasn't really being fouled and he wasn't getting on the ball a lot. And it's interesting that because Xhaka was at left back, a lot of the ball was going out to that side. And obviously, he's only got one way to play it then. And you see how much sometimes we do miss him in midfield. I know, as much as he frustrates some people and he's kind of a bit of a divisive character, he does tend to dictate the play very well. It is noticeable when Torreira came into midfield in the second half how much better we looked, and we did increase the tempo. It wasn't the best game ever, but we got a lot more control on the ball and there was a lot more forward momentum.
Yeah, should we slide into the second half now? Because I think we've got more out of that first half than blood from a stone. And Carl, Aubameyang, he had a couple of early chances in there, like clear chances. Would you expected a striker of that kind of prowess to have buried those? Or, you know,
yeah, there was one that's really stood out where I think it was Ramsey played the ball forward, and he was almost one-on-one with a goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper, to his credit, made a fantastic save. I think he tried to lift it over the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper just got to the ball with his hand. You know, credit to the goalkeeper, absolutely fantastic save. But for someone like Aubameyang, I expect him to score, especially coming up from a high of scoring two goals on Monday. I thought he would definitely bury his chances, and it's almost like Welbeck-esque. He needs a couple of chances to warm up, and I was hoping that, you know, he would bury the chances, because this is what he needs. I think now more than ever he needs to score goals in the Europa League, because clearly, like I said, is our sort of out and out striker in the Premier League. So if you'd have thought if Aubameyang can get a couple goals in the Europa League, again, boost his goal scoring chances, boost his confidence as well, get more goals under his belt, and you never know, he might get a start in the Premier League very, very soon, because this out on the left, I don't think really suits him. Again, you're really hoping that he would do that, but he didn't. But at the end of the day, I don't want to be too negative at the moment, but these are the sort of games that he needs to take his chances. He has to score. Like, if you can get two goals against someone like Sporting Lisbon in the Europa League, it can do wonders for you. But I don't think today was obviously his day.
I agree that he got caught out there a little bit. John, before we go to Welbeck's main thing of the half, 67 minutes, he has a chance, but his header's chalked off for a foul. Is that a little bit soft? He just got above his defender, did he not?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought the guy, he kind of lost his footing and slipped. The one thing in his defence is Welbeck's got his hands on the back of his shirt, and they're very quick to call that sort of thing, especially in Europe, referee. So, yeah, he plays it a little bit because he loses his footing and then, you know, obviously contests that he's getting fouled. But the moment you put your hands on the back of a defender's shirt like that, it's very easy to give that defender the benefit of the doubt. But no, I thought he was perfectly fine chance and scored a good header. When I saw it in real time, I thought it was a foul. And then I saw the replay of it and you can see the guy slipping. So give the referee, you know, a little break there. Some, you know, they're seeing it in real time and everything. I thought it was a foul first time round and it was a really good header by Welbeck. So it's a shame he didn't get two tonight. But he turned up when we needed him in the most sort of easy and thank you Liverpool defenders way of doing it, or ex-Liverpool defender way of doing it, I should say.
I think that was the defending that he learned at Sunderland. Probably the best way to describe that. So, yeah, let's move on to Welbeck's goal. Carl, do you want to talk us through it, that through ball, and what happens to Coates?
Oh, fuck him. He's an ex-Liverpool player. But it was a good ball forward, and I don't know what... I genuinely don't know what Coates was doing. Genuinely don't know what he was doing. He overstretched for the ball. And you know what? This is why strikers should never give up. And that's, I got to give my hat off to Welbeck, because, you know, he could have seen that the defender was going for the ball and just thought, oh, he's got it now. I'm going to stop. But he didn't. He sort of anticipated the defender making a mistake. And Welbeck's pace just about got in front of Kratis. And I love Danny Welbeck. And I want to say that, you know, it was a brilliant place shot, brilliant through the legs. That was definitely just a hit as hard as you can and see where it goes sort of shot. And it managed to go through the goalkeeper's legs. But, you know, it doesn't matter how they go in, as long as they do go in. Obviously, Coates is taking his shit Liverpool defending with him to Sporting. Thank you very much for that. But at the same time, do you know what? Welbeck is our Thursday night Pele, and I absolutely love him for it. But he got us the win. He got us the goal. I think always, whenever a goal goes in through the goalkeeper's legs, it always makes it look just a little bit better. I don't know why. It's like if a ball goes in and off a post, it always makes the goal just a look. Make it look a little bit better. But, you know, credit to Welbeck, and this is again a boost for his confidence, because he doesn't get that many starts in the Premier League, and any goals that he can get is absolutely brilliant for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm loving Thursday night Pele, by the way. That's a great one. That's a great one. Guys in the chat box, if you do have some questions for us, just drop them in there, and I think one of us three will pick them up. And we're going to need some questions, because there's not much more of this game to talk about.
That might be the cleanest I've seen Danny Welbeck hit a ball. Like, with his feet, I mean. Like, he can hit the ball very, very well. But
fully intentionally, right? Because I think he's hit it clean before, but completely unintentionally.
Oh, yeah, like, it's just... his ankle and stuff. He's such a weird player. Like, he's like a more developed Sonogo. Do you know what I mean?
I thought you were going to say something rude, like a more developed giraffe.
No. I'm not going to be that bad. that's like, he doesn't often strike the ball that cleanly. It's always a bit of a fluff chance or like skimmed off him or anything. And then, he just hit that one really well tonight. I was like, yeah, that's really good. One thing Nathan Young said about, is Lichtsteiner better than Jenkinson? I did want to bring that up. Did anyone expect to see the corporal back on the bench?
That guy's got more lives than flipping anything. How that guy hasn't left Arsenal yet?
Our mutual friend Neil, Chimp the Gooner, some people might know on Twitter, he did send a wonderful message about, where is it? I've got it, yeah. Seriously, he's like a season ticket holder that won a competition getting to fly to an away game with the players. How is he still in the squad? I thought it was a really good way to describe Jenkinson. He's amazing. Honestly, he's literally, I mean, everyone knows obviously he's an Arsenal fan, but he's living all of our dreams, being an actual Arsenal player with not being anywhere near good enough. I mean, he's not even, he wasn't good enough for the banter era with like Danielson and all those kind of players. So, yeah, good on you, Jenks. Still sticking it out there.
During the banter era, he was playing for Eastbourne, I have you know. He was doing wonderful things. What acceleration for that guy's career.
But you're right, what you're saying. He is living our dreams. Like, he's getting 50K or thereabouts a week to do what we want to do. Oh, guy's done well for himself. Can't.
Yeah, fair play to him. And I think it was interesting to see because we are a little bit light at fullback at the moment. So we do need to have someone like that in the squad. And yeah, fair play to him. Let's, Carl, yeah, we've gone through the goal, haven't we? So let's just go through Lichtsteiner in general as we brought him up, because near the end, he had a bit of beef with aforementioned Coates. Was that a headbutt or is that a lovely piece of, should we say, Italian sportsmanship, John?
he went down quite easy. I mean, Coates came into him, like he went for him, but I don't know, he didn't really connect. Like, I've seen Lichtsteiner get headbutted properly and give one properly when he was in Syria. And I don't think neither player really went down until the ref looked over and then they fell over and obviously tried to get the player sent off. But yeah, he did quite a bit of that. I think there was a nice elbow he put in the back of someone's head tonight. And there was another one where he got a little, like, it was a foul and he got kicked on the ankle and stuff, but obviously made the most of it, winning free kicks, you know, pointing out to the referee every single thing a sporting player has done wrong. And it's just nice to have that kind of guy in the team. I don't think he had a particularly good game, to be fair, in terms of the actual play, but he did well. Well, he does well for us with that kind of the mind games and getting in the referee's head and other players' heads and getting reactions and that kind of thing. I'd imagine that Coates will perhaps get like a retroactive ban, because the referee went over and spoke to the linesman and the whoever the idiot is with the one behind the goal, whatever they're called now, sixth official, or I don't know what their correct name is.
Fifth official for those guys.
But how neither the linesman or the fifth official saw that, I've got no idea. So I think the rule is if it's not been seen by the referee or any other officials, it has to be, it can be looked at afterwards and you can get like a retroactive ban. So perhaps he'll be banned for some of their games. I'm not sure if that's a positive or a negative, but we are currently 9 points. So we're 3 wins, only 2 goals conceded, 8 scored. So we're all but through the group, basically. Was Vorskla a draw tonight? I think they drew, didn't they? Did they draw? Oh, no, they did
were winning. They were winning.
Yeah, they did win in the end. So, yeah, we're all but through the group. We're top as well. You know, it's less important, I guess, than it used to be, because the quality of the teams is, you know, much of a muchness. But the quicker we can get the competition sort of done with, the quicker we can concentrate on the Premier League, having, you know, not having to rotate as much or bring in the Premier League players, because you saw the little bit where Ozil was warming up before we got the goal and he might have had to come on the pitch, that kind of thing. So I think it's important to get the competition done with as quick as we can, so that maybe the later games you can rotate more, bring in more youngsters, especially for the ones where we've got the long away trips, because this was obviously the shortest of our away trips that we're going to have to make in this competition so far. So all in all, the game was, yeah, not great to watch, but you take the win all the time and just keep the momentum going. Is it just a good belief around the team that they can still do things and get a result in a game, even if it's not going well?
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, what did you reckon to the game overall? Just while we're waiting for some questions to come in from the listeners, and of course, get some likes involved as well. That would be great. Thank you very much. At the moment, I believe we're around 48. There's 217 watching. Thank you very much, of course, for all your support as well. So yeah, Carl, what did you reckon to that game overall?
The game was boring. Let's make no bones about it. It wasn't the most exciting game in the world. It truly wasn't. But at the end of the day, we won 11 games in a row. We haven't done that for how many years? And it's refreshing to just win games and not worry about, you know, us being way off the pace in the Premier League, like in this part of the season, because this part of the season last year, and I don't want to, I hate sort of keeping repeating, like going back to Arsene Wenger, but you know, this time last season, we was way off the pace in the Premier League. And I think now we're only, what, 3 points behind Man City and Liverpool, I want to say. So it's nice for us to be up there. 11 wins. When's the last time we could say that? The game itself was very boring, let's be honest. It was not exciting. And even in our group, I said, how the hell are we going to talk about this game? And, you know, it managed to get a goal from Welbeck. But winning ugly is a thing that we haven't done for ages. And not all the time we can play champagne football. Like on Monday, you know, our goals on Monday, our last two goals are absolutely brilliant. We can't always do that. But I think this is a hallmark of, I'm not getting excited. I'm no way saying that we're going to go out and win the flipping Premier League. But when you can grind out results, it's absolutely brilliant. And it's something that we don't do very often. And this kind of game just shows that we almost have a never say die attitude, because this season, we haven't drawn this season, have we? We literally have lost two and won every other game. So that just shows and to us that, you know, we have a mentality now in the squad where we may not play the best football, we may not even defend the best, to be honest, but we can still grind out results, and it just shows what we did today.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, listeners, when Carl guarantees that we'll win the Premier League, that is subject to leaves on the line.
Other time, no delays.
Yeah.
Remember, not every signal failure is a signal failure.
Right, let's dive down into these questions now. John, do you want to go through the questions?
Yeah, sure. I will say, just before we go into the questions, if you haven't listened to this week's pod, go check that out. It was Danny, Mr. Hollick, and, oh God, was it Ellis? No, not Ellis. Who else was on?
No, it was Gav. Gav from She-War.
Gav, sorry. Yeah, Gav from She-War. So, yeah, a bit of an old school pod. So go check that out if you haven't listened. If you are watching live, please do hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and if you can, hit the bell icon, then you'll be notified every time we go live. But anyway, we should jump into the questions. So Anime Me asked one earlier. How do people feel about Leno on crosses so far? He makes me a bit nervous, not Ospina nervous though. We did mention this on the last show a little bit. Josh, you've been asking the questions. What have you made of Leno? I know he didn't have the most to do tonight, but just in general, because that is the one area I think he's a little suspect on.
Yeah, I think just the way he kind of comes for those crosses seems to be a little chaotic, but he's one of those keepers that I don't really feel nervous when I see him do anything. He's got that kind of Germanic kind of calmness about him, not like Neuer, who can go full Neuer at times, but you know, the kind of old school one, a bit like Crazy Jens,
yeah,
who was just very efficient in his saves, like absolutely mental when it came to everything else in his life, but in terms of as a goalkeeper, he's just really, really efficient. And I thought with his with him coming for crosses, I think it's just a case of, we saw it with some European goalkeepers, need to bulk up a little bit, but he is commanding his area and his box, and for that, I think that's more than we can ask for from some of the goalkeepers we've seen light up the Emirates for the past 10 or so years.
Yeah, someone did, oh God, I've lost it now. Someone did make the point of like bulking up a little bit, which I think you saw, remember when David De Gea, I know you're not a big fan of him, Josh, but when he first
talking about goalkeepers that can command their area, and that guy hasn't come for a cross since, I think, 1996.
But he did, I know he's still quite slight for a goalkeeper, but he did have to get bigger when he first came into the league, and it was a bit of a shock to him. So Leno's not exactly small in that sense, but I do think maybe he might pack on a bit more muscle. The Bundesliga is a fairly physical league, but Premier League is another step above that. So yeah, I'm very happy with him, and me and Jace both said, and I think Danny agreed with this, that, you know, at the moment it's nice that I'm not bothered who's in goal, Cech or Leno. If I saw either of the names on the team sheet, I'd be happy. I'd rather Leno, just because I think he builds better from the back, and obviously his passing is, he's got that ability. One from Carly Elguna. Will Welbeck get a contract before the season ends? Carl, what do you reckon to this?
I do think he would. I do. I think he can do a job for us. Whether he will or not, I don't know. Arsenal don't have the best negotiation skills, do they, in the world? And that's putting it very, very lightly. But I would like to see him get a deal, because even if he leaves, and he will definitely go to another Premier League team, because another Premier League team will definitely pick him up. He can do a job for us. Just shows that tonight. So I'd definitely like to see him, but I don't know how Arsenal worked their negotiations or how they did the contracts. You know, the fact that we're letting Ramsey walk away, and that's another story for another time, I guess.
I don't think Arsenal know how they do their contracts.
That's very true. And at the moment, you know, Arsenal contracts are kind of up in the air because we are just absolutely rubbish at negotiations. But I personally would like to see him gain another contract.
Yes, I think it's one of those where even if you are going to sell him, I think there's value in just getting him to sign another deal, even if it's at the same like level, because I still think you'd be able to sell him and get some money back.
Definitely.
You know, he's the sort of guy who can easily play for, you know, Everton, West Ham. You know, there's so many clubs sort of that tier below the sort of top five, top six.
He's a little like Elneny, isn't he, in that kind of regard, that you think he could, if he wanted to, he could go to the other, say, 16 other teams in the Premier League and probably start for him. But
yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, as long as the one thing I would say with him is he's a hard player to replace. You know, he's not the best quality, and he's not technically the best player, but his work rate, and he will do absolutely anything the manager tells him. Like, he will do it to the letter. And I think that's why Ferguson likes him so much. So he's a very, very good squad player. So maybe there's a chance. You know, Emery might come in and say, you know what, I really like this guy. He offers me so much. I want to keep him around. Because he does seem the sort of player that Emery enjoys at least working with or having as an option. Because I do think he will do whatever the manager wants. Next question. Where are we? Marble Halls TV. Are our poor first halves deliberate? Is Emery banking on a scoring late in games? Someone else also mentioned in the chat. I'm sorry, apologies. I've lost your name now. I haven't got it written down. This is for you, Josh. I think we've only scored in the first half once this season. Possibly. Might have been against Fulham. So we the sort of, because we've spoken about this a lot, the first half sort of lulls. And again, tonight we did pick up a bit. The game wasn't great. It wasn't like previous ones, but we have improved markedly in the second half. So do you think it is a deliberate tactic, or is it still the players trying to learn from Emery?
I think it's also a little bit like the other way around. Emery trying to learn Arsenal, learn the league that he's playing in. I think, you know, the fact it's what, 13 games he's played now, and he's still learning, to be honest. And the safest way to do, you know, get through a first half and feel out your opponent is to perhaps be a little bit more conservative, and then in that second half go, right, I've worked out what we need to do now. And to be honest, as we've just said, we've won 11 in a row. It's working out for us, and it's working out for him with this current tactic. I do imagine that, you know, once the reverse fixtures come round, we might be more aggressive with the likes of Fulham or Cardiff when it come out of the blocks. There's teams that we know are going to be more open, or at least give us more opportunities, and we can start blowing away these teams. And don't forget, we've also got to play Southampton in the second week of December. And sorry, Ross, if he's listening to this, but that's a game that I think we can start on the front foot. I think that's where we'll see that eventually this will happen. But I think it is just purely down to almost Emery trying to really feel out the opposition and start out with, you know, slow and steady, work out what's going on, and from there push into the second half and exploit the gaps that he's found in the first half.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt he obviously wants the team to start faster. You can see that when he's watching on the sidelines, but I do think that is a sensible option and approach to take so far. I think the problem I have when I'm watching it is, like, I'd like the gap to be smaller in the quality difference from the first half to the second. I'd like the first half to be closer to the second half in terms of the way we play. Very quickly, my accent, I would describe it as Essex Mockney, not quite Cockney, because I used to live there, but there you go, I had to grow up in Essex, so it's just a mess now. Not as good as Gav's, yeah, he's got a proper one. Oh God, I've lost the question. I'm doing a Jason Davies now. I know why he gets annoyed with me when you put questions in the chat and disappears. Sai Anvesh, I apologize for butchered your name. Auntie Slow starts making you guys nervous. I fear we would pay for it when we face someone from the big six. So we kind of talked about the slow starts. Carl, how have you, it's kind of taken from this question, but how have you viewed Emery so far? And is it a case of you're going to assess him when I think our first big game really is against Liverpool? Is that going to be sort of like the key marker game for you to see how far we've come? Because the Chelsea Man City games are kind of a write-off because they were start of the season, weren't they?
No, you can only play what's in front of you. I mean, we've run 11 in a row, and no matter who we played, we've still won 11 games. And I know dickheads like Paul Merson, I don't know why I mentioned his name, to be honest. Like, I know he says stuff for attention, but he says stuff like, oh, he can't judge us because we haven't played anyone big. We still played people in the Premier League and we won them games. We've still played people in the Europa League and we still won them games. Had we lost them games, he would have been all over us. Oh, he can't do it, blah, blah, blah. Just, you can't just judge on the top six. You don't just gain points from the top six only. You gain points from playing the other 19 teams in the league. Yes, it's going to be very hard for us against Liverpool. I've got no doubt that it's going to be a very big test. And I'm not just going to judge him on the Liverpool game. You know, if you are going to just judge him on the Liverpool game, if we had won the first two games of the season, we would not be saying those two games are write-off. We would be saying, oh, look at us, we're brilliant. We managed to beat Chelsea, managed to beat Man City. Because we lost them games, people are saying, oh, yeah, it's a write-off. And I don't think we should. I think, yeah, it was the beginning of the season and he was feeling that his teams, I get it. And we obviously went up to scratch, but we faced a team who is arguably going to be number one or number two in the Premier League this season, guaranteed. We faced another team that has gone unbeaten in the league so far this season. So, you know, they are very good teams. And then after that, we have just played absolutely brilliantly. We played really, really well. The Liverpool game will be another really big test for us. It definitely will. But if we lose this game, I'm not going to judge Emre to say, oh, I know we were shit. No, you can't do it against the big teams. We've still won 11. It's not discount the fact that we won 11 games, possibly 12, because we've got Palace on Sunday, games in a row. So I don't think that the Liverpool game should be the be-all and end-all of Emre so far.
Yeah.
Remember, that was another Kyle Walker guarantee on Liverpool and Man City finishing in the top two. Cheap on the line, allowing, of course.
that will be the big test, obviously. But we've got Palace before that and Blackpool. So they're the games to worry about for now. But yeah, I think everyone's sort of starting to eye up that Liverpool game to see just how far we've sort of come along under Emery. Someone else asked a similar question along the same lines. Abhishek, I'm sorry again if I've butchered your name. Do you think Emery purposely does not make any significant attacking move till about 35 minutes and then all the movement trickery starts? We kind of covered this. I think Josh asked it quite well. It is noticeable, one thing, and again, I go back to something Dom has said, that in the last 15, 10 minutes of the first half, and in particular in the second half, I don't know if it's us upping our tempo or the other team fading a little, but our fitness level seems to be much better. So we seem to be able to push teams a little bit more. Kind of in the way you saw when the year Leicester won the league, the sort of way they would press and win the ball back quickly and counter quick. They did it in little spurts and stuff. And we seem to be picking certain points in the game of when to up our tempo and stuff. So I think that's certainly a tactic within it. And it might be a case of the thing that Emery's watched the team and seen that certain periods in the game, that team tends to drop off their performance, and he's noticing that from his videos. Right, next one. And 235, will VAR, when implemented, work better for us or be a hindrance, bearing in mind the balance of decisions for and against us? Josh, what do you think? Because that is it next season, ooh, Premier League's got it?
Probably, yeah, I think so.
I think it is next season, yeah.
I think it would work better for us rather than a hindrance. But to be honest, there's always going to be some form of contention that we'll find in it, whether or not it's a case of, oh, well, Mike Dean was up in Thunderbird 5 or whatever it is system they're using to cool down on games. I'm not really sure, to be honest, overall, but I would go with just it would be we're always going to benefit from it, right? Because in theory, the decision, the contentious decisions are going to be right and corrected. Yeah. So we should come out of it well. We just got to make sure that we're not doing stupid things like,
I think for every good decision we're going to get, we're going to get a bad decision, aren't we? Like, we're just like any other team. We're not perfect. And you're going to get a Xhaka late tackle that's probably going to get us, or a Lichtsteiner shithousery, as Steve puts it. So I'd like to think that, you know, we would benefit from it. But I think for every decision that go for us, I think we're going to get a few decisions that go against us. And that's just going to be the law of averages, to be honest.
Yeah, I think for the most part, depending on what league you watch, and he's not throwing shade at other leagues, I think in the Bundesliga, the implementation hasn't been the best, and the fans have been quite vocal about it. In Serie A, it's actually been there three years now. It's either two or three, I can't remember. And it's actually been pretty good for the most part. I can think of maybe two decisions that they've got wrong, and they've looked at after the game and said, yeah, we made a mistake there. But for the most part, they've always got things right. Like, I think as fans, we always want the referee to get the correct decision. Sometimes that's going to punish us, because there's certainly been games where we could have had a penalty given against us, or you think back to the holding, the handball against Leicester. That probably gets given as a penalty. Whether he gets a second yellow card or not and gets sent off, maybe that might change the whole game and we don't see those beautiful goals that we scored. But if it means that you're going to get the correct decisions throughout games much more consistently, then I'm all in favour of it. And I think for the most part, the way it was used at the World Cup as well, it was pretty positive. And it sort of gave a new dimension to games as well, made it kind of more exciting. I don't know how well it was received within the stadiums, because sometimes it's not so clear what's going on there. But that's obviously something they have to address as well for the fans in the stadium, so they kind of know what's going on. Because it's easy from being at home if you're watching on the TV. Formerly Noza asks, Mustafi or Holding to partner Socrates on Sunday? I'll let you have a go on this. Carl, what do you reckon?
I would go for Socrates.
No, sorry, to play with Socrates. Mustafi or
Holding? Oh, sorry. Mustafi. I'm going to bring him in. Mustafi, I think. As much as he gets my flipping nerves, he does, and he makes me nervous. He is our number one centre back, isn't he? So you've got to play kind of what your best team is.
Fair enough. Josh?
I wouldn't play Socrates on Sunday. He's only just come back. I would play him again against Blackpool, probably next to Holding again, and start that rotation at that point, rather than start it at the weekend.
Fair enough.
Crystal Palace, and this is where I'm going to jinx it, have been very goal shy of recent weeks. I don't think they haven't scored a single home goal this season, have they?
I don't think
some
so.
Some mental stat.
Incoming.
Yes. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, clearly, you know, it's a hat trick coming for Zaha on the Sunday. So.
Triple captain in everyone in fantasy football. You're going to get some decent points.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mustafi just scares me sometimes and just makes some mistakes. But Palace have been so goal shy, I don't know if it's going to matter as much. But yeah,
More worried if Cech starts over Leno. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Socrates.
Can I just say one thing? Do you remember when we played Cardiff and they hadn't scored a goal all season? What the score was in that game? And I'll say no more.
Yeah, but we won, didn't we? So what does it matter?
That is true. Yeah, we did win the game. As long as you win and we keep the winning streak going, that's the thing. But it's a good problem to have, I think, at the moment. The fact that I think Socrates has been our most solid defender. Holding, I think, has been very good, barring the Leicester game, he was a bit shaky. I thought tonight he was very decent, to be fair, particularly in the air. He generally seems to relish the sort of the very physical challenges. Are Palace still playing Benteke up front? I don't even know. Is he still their main man up there?
No, I think it's now Zaha.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. So that would then, if it is Zaha, then I'd probably rather play Mustafi, just as he's a bit quicker on his feet. But yeah, if they were Benteke, then I think Holding would have a lot of fun playing against him. Right, a couple more questions. Joshua Page, how long before Leno gets in the Germany squad and they ruin him as a man? I presume that's in reference to our own German Mesut Ozil and the way he's been treated. I think he'll be in the squad soon enough. The thing with the Germany squad is they've got lots and lots of good players. You wouldn't know it at the moment for the way they're performing, but yeah, they've got a lot of very good players and a lot of good goalkeepers. So
I think the fact that he's Aryan also helps him no end.
Yeah, so not that we're believing any conspiracies or anything like that. But we'll move on very quickly from that. Stand the Man also asked Chambers or Holding, who has the bigger future at Arsenal? Ooh. Okay, go on, Josh, I want you to answer this because you watch a lot of other football, in particular a lot of other English football. What do you reckon to Callum Chambers? Because he's a guy I really like, but it hasn't been great for him at Fulham. Or to be fair, no one in that team seems to be able to defend.
Yeah, I'm not sure about sending him to Fulham was, in hindsight, the best idea. I was hoping that the fact that he was joining up with his England under-23 partner in Alfie Mawson, who'd come in from just relegated Swansea, that Jukanovic might actually build a defence of some kind of solidity. But he looks to have continued down the route that he did in the Championship last season. And that Fulham team has never been able to defend, full stop. So I wouldn't necessarily put all the blame on the fact that Callum Chambers is a bad player. It's also down to the system that he's in. The system is not good. And I think that's where we saw him. Ita Karanka was at Middlesbrough when he went there. And he had that really good season on loan because he went to a manager who knows how to defend. I think, unfortunately, the fact that he probably wanted to stay in London didn't really help him with his choices. West Ham, you know, he's not shiny enough for them. They're always going to go after someone, a big name, really, to placate the fans. And then at the moment in London, he's not getting into any other team, to be honest. Maybe Palace.
Yeah.
So I think
the fact that Holding's still at the club and Chambers has gone out on loan tells you which one at the moment has the bigger future. But Chambers still has a chance. The problem is that, as you say, he's in a team where they're just leaking goals everywhere. And I don't understand playing him at right back, especially in the Cardiff game when he was against, is it Murphy? Plays down that side, he's quite quick.
It was against Murphy. And I think, to be honest, we all knew from Arsenal fans what he's like against pace.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jukanovic, probably in hindsight, would have probably played a three at the back, but they didn't have a fit right back. And the fact that Chambers, for a point, can play that, if you do a flat back four and you don't want any movement up and down from your fullback, great. Chambers could do that every day of the week, but not what he was asked to do in that Fulham lineup. It's just not suited to him.
Yeah.
So I think from that point of view, we could probably go out there and find someone better than Chambers.
Maybe for take
a cut
Mawson
price. don't tempt me. But that's what I mean. You know, there are players out there that we could go and get. The fact that he is English, though, that's going to start to play into our hands because we are seeing a number of the English players going out of the squad now. We do need to keep that homegrownness kind of plumped up.
Daniel Maj, I think I pronounced that right. Apologies, you donated earlier. Thank you very much again, Daniel. Do you think the second half improvement is intentional as a tactic? It seems to happen too often to be by coincidence. We kind of already spoke about that. So thank you for that one, Daniel. Matt Higgins asked, does Aubameyang provide more value as a substitute at the moment? Carl, what do you reckon to this? I know we didn't play great tonight, but he didn't have the best game. He had a decent chance that he didn't do. I don't think he did enough with. Do you think he's better as an impact sub? Because I feel he's kind of wasted on the left. I know he can play there, but I just like him so much more through the middle.
I don't like him on the left at all. I think it's another the Arsenal way, square peg round holes. And we've done that for a load of years. Look, we got done against Leicester, came on and literally changed the game, didn't he? So at the moment, he's one of them players where, you know, like the 60th, 70th minute where your defenders are tired and like the last thing you want to see is Aubameyang coming on and running at you. At the moment, that's what we need. Unless we're going to play him and, like I said, up front, which I would love to see a 4-4-2. Yeah. You know, in this day and age, it's very rare that you see a 4-4-2. But I think them two up front would absolutely do wonders. But you have to think about the other areas of the pitch. If you flood the midfield, then you're losing out. And then if you do play a 4-4-2, how do you fit in play people like Mesut Ozil and Xhaka and Torreira? Like, you need, if you're playing 4-4-2, you do need two wingers and you need two centers, and we don't have any wingers at the moment. So 4-4-2 is a very hard thing for us to play with our players at the moment. But yeah, I think Aubameyang coming on as like 65th, 70th minute, it will just shit up defenders, I think. And so it's lovely to have a player like that to come on and do stuff like that. You know, not to say that he shouldn't be a starter at some games, because some games it will call for him to start. Some games, you know, like I said, it's not the fastest player on the pitch. You know, he can finish. He's a fucking brilliant finisher, but he can't. He's not the fastest player on the pitch. And if we want pace, then I think that's really, really good.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I would like to see when we play Cardiff and we sort of play that 4-2-2-2 sort of shape, if we can get Aubameyang and Lacazette into that. Maybe we can play that against Southampton just to really terrify Ross. our poor Southampton friend. That will really cheer him up. Sai Anvesh asks, with all the winger links going on, would you guys like Pavon or Nelson? Josh, what do you reckon to that?
Can I just double check? That is Reece Nelson, right?
I assume he means Reece Nelson, yeah.
I can't think of another one in European football, although there is something in the back of my brain that says there's another one out there. Anywho, yeah, I do like what Reece Nelson is doing at the moment. I think everyone hears at Hoffenheim. Pavon is an interesting one. I've got a sneaking suspicion that because a certain Barcelona player absolutely loves him, or loved him in the national team, that he'll probably end up going there. Rather than coming into England. I think, to be honest, the Spanish game would suit him better as well. If I look at one winger, and to be honest, it's Sven Mislintat, you know, casting his net into his back garden again, but Jadon Sancho would be the one I look at Dortmund, because, you know, another young Englishman is, you know, absolutely fine at the moment at Dortmund. And I think if we could promise him regular game time, then, yeah, perhaps he'd come back to the Premier League, but to be honest, he says he's enjoying Germany, but that's the one I'd look at.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with Nelson, what he's done so far. I think he's 4 goals now so far this season. He's the only Arsenal player playing Champions League football at the moment as well. You know, he's doing really well, and he's under a very exciting manager. I think he's probably spending a lot of time with his mate, Jadon Sancho, actually, in the evenings anyway, or when they can meet up. So, yeah, I think part of that is he just knew he wasn't going to get as much game time, and it's a good opportunity for him. So I think that's fine. We've already spoken about the fact that maybe Welbeck might be leaving. You know, he hasn't got a contract at the moment. We don't know what's going to happen with Mkhitaryan. I think he's done okay this season, but still a bit hit and miss for me. So, yeah, let Nelson have his season out there in Germany. Keep up the good form and stuff, and come back and fight for a first team spot. I think that'd be perfect for us. And maybe it does solve some of those winger issues that we've been missing. Because one thing I would say is that we have also got Iwobi at the moment, who's been playing really, really well. And he's the only player we have in our squad right now who can carry the ball and run at players. So if we can have him one side and Nelson the other, that'd be really fun to watch, especially both being Arsenal boys. Daryl Kane, who donated a stupid amount of money on Monday night. Thank you very much again for that, Daryl. Thoughts on who should play with Ozil? I think he needs to have two hard workers on the wings next to him. I think Emery's setting himself up for something similar to Leicester. Carl, what do you think? Because I've spoken about this, and I said that I think we look much better when we have, you know, it won't be one side and then another, you know, like a Welbeck or a Mkhitaryan when he's on form, that kind of thing. And it does seem to get the most out of Ozil because he has a lot more freedom.
I think the way to get the best out of Ozil is to leave him in the middle and let him do his thing. Let him spray past his left, right, and in the middle. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have any defensive responsibilities, because if we're on the pitch, everyone's got to defend as a team. But the more you can get other people running for him, the better. If you can find Ozil in space, and Ozil will pick you out and he will get you that goal, get you that supply to try and make you finish. So I think you're right what you say. I think definitely if he has runners either side of him, it just makes him work so much better, because he can find players and stretch the game, and that's, he can always find a pass where you think there's not a pass on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that Leicester game was the first time I think this season we played with a real 10. Ozil had so much more freedom in that game than I've seen anyone who's played that position for us this season. And I don't know if that was just the tactic of the game, or that Emery changed things a little bit and changed positions of players a little bit more. But it was, yeah, it was a joy to watch, as I'm sure you're all saying. I've only got I've got 87 likes. 87 likes, that's it. And there's over 250 of you. Over 250 and only 87 likes.
To be fair, John, I don't think you're worth seven, let alone 87.
Well, I mean, that's true. Look, I know Jace is not here, but come on, tappy tappy, because you know, otherwise he'll pop up in the chat box and he'll get upset. Well, actually, he probably won't. He'll have a go at me, so there you go.
John's got more Tinder matches than this.
Let's not talk about my Tinder on stream. Right. A few more questions and then we'll wrap up for the show. Thank you so much. Oh, I've got to say it like Jason. I've only got 87 likes. See, that was like half Scouse and not really Welsh. It's terrible.
I was just about to say, what part of Liverpool is he from? I literally was going to say the same thing.
I can't do the Welsh accent. It's awful. So there you go. Sorry, Neil Vega. That's the best you're getting. Yeah, we'll do a couple more questions and then we'll wrap up for the show, because there wasn't a lot to talk about in the game. But thank you everyone in the chat box as always for all the questions you send, and thank you to everyone who's listening, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever it is you're joining us from. We really, really appreciate it. Matt Higgins asks, with there being more opportunity to blood younger players and bringing squad players in Europa League games, can it in some ways be more beneficial to play in the Europa League rather than the Champions League? Carl, do you want to go on that?
I think football is demanding, no matter what league you're playing, whether it be the Champions League or the Europa League. I think it's a competition that we all want to win. Arsene Wenger tried to win it last season. We got to the semi-final. Yes, we play a league and a B team and an A team, but once we got into the crux of the competition, you saw that you started playing the big guns and we started playing our big boy players. No is the answer. I think if you're good enough, you should get into no matter what team, whether it be a Champions League or whether it be a Europa, whether it be a League Cup, the Premier League. If you're good enough, you will play. It just depends on your position, obviously, you know, because we look at our League Cup game. We play quite a strong team there. I don't think it's any beneficial to playing in the Champions League rather than the Europa League, apart from money. And that's the own prestige a little bit, I think, is the only thing that kind of gets out of it. So, no, not really.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is the money is the difference. I think the thing is, you can get your Champions League group where it's safe fairly easy. You might qualify quickly and then, you know, then you've got the same amount of games to blood some youngsters and stuff. But look, it's fun being in the Europa League because apparently there's some team that apparently if you go into London, there's only one place you can watch Champions League football this season at some stadium that's not even finished yet. And they're not even in the competition. They're about to go out of it. So, you know, I don't know what fucking idiots they are. And we won't get to play them soon.
It's a stupid team. Like, I don't know. Like, why would you know, be up in a game and then get your goalkeeper sent off? It's fucking weird, isn't it? It's really weird.
Oh, must have had a tipple before the match. Anyway, quick one from Michael Hanneman. Thoughts on Xhaka at left back today. Didn't think he did anything wrong, really, considering he's out of position. Yeah, I thought he did okay. A couple of times he got caught a bit high up the pitch, but you know, sometimes you just have to play at a position, and I think he's one of those guys who will just, he'll do whatever. It limits his passing a little bit because he can't open his body up, obviously, out to that left-hand side. But yeah, I think he's a much maligned player and takes a little bit too much stick for me. But you can see he's obviously much more comfortable in the middle. Couple more and then we'll be done. Daniel Maj again. What's your starting 11 for Palace? Josh, go on, you go for yours.
Oh, God. I'm definitely going to end up with 12 players or maybe 10. I would stick with the goalkeeper, back four of the usual suspects. I would hope. Do we know about Nacho or Klasenovic?
I think they're both essentially available, but it was like light strains and they were just didn't want to risk them. So I'd imagine, you know what Nacho's like, he's normally back pretty quick, isn't he?
Yeah, so I'd probably try and put a left back at left back if possible. yeah, same kind of centre backs. I would go with Mustafi and Holding. I wouldn't play Socrates for reasons outlined already. And then I'd probably go Xhaka, Torreira, Ozu Iwobi. Who am I going to put on the right? Let's put out there Mkhitaryan and Lacazette.
Okay.
That would be my lineup. And I believe that's 11 players.
Carl, any difference for you in your lineup?
I would go Bellerin, the usual back four, but I'd definitely go with Mustafi and Socrates. Mm-hmm. I would go in the middle, Xhaka, Torreira. I would go Ozil, Iwobi, and I'd play Welbeck on the right, I think, because mm-hmm. I think he is going to be that guy who would run at Palace. And like you said, I think he goes forward well, and I think he would push them back, and Palace kind of goal shy. So I think we can kind of go for them. And like I said, up front.
Okay, yeah. I think mine's pretty much the same. The only difference is I think I'd have Aubameyang for Welbeck, maybe. I'm not a huge fan of him on the left, but yeah. It's interesting that we've all got Iwobi now, though, considering what he was like, how we spoke about him last season. Not you, Josh. I know you always stuck up for him, but yeah, the rest of us weren't exactly singing his praises, but yeah.
No, exactly. And just as Steve's putting, Welbs to stop Zaha. Zaha's now striker for them, so I think we don't really need to worry about who's coming up down
Welbeck
the flanks.
Will run.
Apart from Welbeck will do some stuff. we have got Van Aanholt out there as well. Mm.
So that would be a good argument for starting Welbeck on that side, actually, to track Van Aanholt, because he is one of their better players.
Absolutely. We have just crept over the line of 102 likes and one thumbs down.
Thumbs down is fine. We like
which
them
is fine, because we're coming up with net thumbs of over 100. So let's just talk about net thumbs.
XG thumbs, yeah. And I had, there was one more question. Enrico Mathis, John, what do you think of the links to Nico Barea from Calgary? They're great, but he's Italian, so my guess would be that he'll stay in Italy. And apparently they're like quoting 40 million euros, which is what, like 35 million? I don't know what the exchange rate is at the moment. 35 million something. He's a very exciting player, but I'd imagine that one of the bigger teams in Italy will come and snap him up. The fact he's still at Calgary is very surprising. I think that's it for questions.
Cool. Thanks, Joe.
That'll be all that. I just want to say very quickly, quick thank you before you do your wrap up, Josh, to Jamie Hodson, Daniel Madge, and Yvonne Akfor for all your donations for tonight's show. That's really appreciated.
Thank you, guys. Much appreciated. Yep.
And I'll hand it back over to you, Josh.
Thank you very much, John. And of course, Carl. And of course, all the listeners. I hope we haven't woken you up too much and you can get back to sleep now that it's creeping up to 9 o'clock. But thank you as always. And who's on the radio show for the next one, John?
Radio show for Sunday is me, probably, again. I'm not saying it bitterly, listeners.
We got Ellis.
I believe... Oh, hang on a minute. I've got it here. Lineup for Palace is Ellis. We've got Dom, so you've got like a proper like pundit on, and it'll be either Jason or me, which probably means it'll be me and Jason, and then those two, more than likely, because Jason will go, I don't want to go on my own. Come on, John. So, we'll be back for the Palace game straight after the game, obviously. Podcast next week is, I think Ellis is on that, and I think Mr. Raj Patel is back for that as well, and I'm not sure who else is on, so... Be sure to check that out. Check out this week's one as well. And I think that's it. That's all our stuff.
Yeah, I think that is as well. As John has basically done the wrapping up for me, I'll just wrap up by saying I was hosting the show. See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.